This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We're totally bent for your listening pleasure. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca. Bromwyn Bike, who's our special guest.
That's a bit rude.
This morning, and myself,
Tass.
And we've been talking about the Victorian government's newly announced policy to introduce a safe injecting, supervised injecting facility.
And you know, tragic in many ways, Tass, that, you know, in 99 we were so close. So we've lost 18 years.
We certainly
We've
have.
We've lost 18 years.
But hopefully, you know, hopefully we have learned from this over the last 18 years. There's been a lot more work done on this.
Absolutely.
And to conclude the conversation with us this morning, we've got Fiona Patton, who, as I understand, Fiona, you had a fair bit to do with actually introducing a private members bill into Parliament to kickstart this whole debate again.
Yes. This started for me last year when the coroner brought down her report on Miss A, who was a young mum who died tragically in a fast food restaurant toilet. And that kick-started my push for this. And yes, I introduced a bill in February of this year that had the support of just about everyone. There's certainly, you know, the ambulances, the traders, the residents, the medical experts, the AMA, everyone. But I couldn't convince the government at that time, nor the opposition.
But the government's seen the light.
They've seen the evidence.
They can see that this actually is important.
I can understand, though. It must have been hard for the government. You're trying to kind of deal with people's concerns that, you know, we've got a law and order problem in our community, and for some this is seen as that kind of soft on crime thing, so they had to get over that, and I can respect and understand.
No, that's right.
That moving beyond the position has not been easy.
We were able to educate them on it, but it did take some time. And you know, this week there was a fourth coroner's report into another death of a young woman. So I think finally they realised that this would save lives, and that it wasn't being soft on crime, it was actually being tough on crime.
And what we're doing just isn't working.
That's right.
We're just not doing enough to actually really turn the corner. Fiona, the Minister for Mental Health, who's the minister that's overseeing this, said earlier on this morning that this has not yet passed in Parliament.
That's right.
So obviously this still needs to go through the upper house in Parliament. Tell us about where it's at. Have we got the numbers to get this through?
Yes, I believe we do. Certainly James Purcell from Western Victoria has indicated to me that he would support it.
James Purcell is which side of politics?
He's an independent.
Oh, yeah, good.
His party's called Vote One Local Jobs.
Oh, yes.
And he's from Western Victoria. So he's indicated that he will support it. I'm still talking to the opposition because, I mean, I think some of them are starting to come around that this is actually a very good idea, and that this actually frees up the police to do the work that the community wants them to do, which is stopping violent break-ins, you know, addressing dealers and that sort of thing. It actually will help us address crime.
But they won't have a conscience vote, Fiona, so, you know, the main game is Guy and the leadership team, isn't it?
They'll vote as a block, won't they?
Of course they will. I was pleased to hear Matthew Guy saying that they would not disrupt the trial if they came into government after the November election. So that's encouraging.
So who else are you getting to lobby them? I mean, I was saying to Martin Foley that one of the successful things in establishing the King's Cross facility was the fact that the Uniting Church
backed it
and is running it and has run it all those years, and that a minister of the Uniting Church was the front face of the whole campaign. You know, and some of those kind of community leaders, it's very hard for the opposition to say no to. So are there others who are in their ear?
Yes. We have 40 different organisations that signed an open letter that have all been writing to both sides of government, both sides of parliament rather, and that includes Lorraine Baker from the AMA, it includes the head of the Pharmacy Guild, it includes the head of Emergency at St Vincent's Hospital. We've certainly got Uniting Care, Uniting Church, the Salvation Army. The list goes on. There's really no one out there. I think probably the final piece in the jigsaw was when the Police Association put out a statement, and that really changed things. So it will be hard for the government, the opposition, to say, well, we don't agree with the police, we don't agree with the paramedics, we don't agree with the AMA, we don't agree with the Pharmacy Guild, we don't agree with all of these people.
So why are they not supporting it?
Look, let's watch this space. I mean, I would be hopeful that they may see a change of heart and they may be able to reconcile their opposition with the new bill, with the different regulations, and because this centre will be quite somewhat different from the Sydney Centre, and I am very pleased because I think it actually takes what Marianne's been doing in Sydney and Ingrid set up to the next level.
So, are you going to stop at Richmond?
Well, the government has made it very clear that we must stop at Richmond, that they will only allow a trial of one centre in one place. I certainly saw the calls in Geelong for a centre to be set up there urgently, but the government has made its will known that it's
so
only
crawl
one.
Before we run.
Mm. Yeah, look, I actually think the approach is right.
Yeah.
Trial this, establish it, make sure it works, tweak it as you need to, and then where there's political gain, you might actually apply it in other areas.
I think,
but I recall, if I'm going to reflect back on the time when Bronwyn and I worked on, the BRACS government's attempt to get these supervised injecting facilities up in 2000, we got tremendous support from the regions, tremendous support. Mm. And there are a whole lot of families who at the time were saying, we have to support this because it's our children from our country towns who are going into Footscray and Richmond and Bourke Street and Russell Street and the rest of it and using, and that's where we're losing them.
Yep.
So they were desperately saying, we support this as a public health measure.
Well, maybe we can get my country colleagues from the Shooters Party in here to have a chat about that.
Let's get them in. We'd love to. Can you help us with those?
Yes, I will.
Lovely.
Very happy to do that.
Leave their guns at the door.
Yeah.
But do they support marriage equality first?
I think one might.
Okay. Because that's become a bit of a... a criteria.
That's the keys to the front door here,
Absolutely.
Isn't it? If you don't support equality, then you can't come in.
You can only do it over the phone.
Yeah. But I think certainly what we're concerned about is what will happen in the interim. Mm. So summer is always when we have more overdoses in Richmond than any other season, and this centre will not be open for summer.
Mm.
So the residents are really... While they're very happy that the government's made this announcement, they're very concerned about what's going to happen in the next 4 to 5 months. And when I was overseas, we saw communities just setting up their own supervised injecting areas. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happens in North Richmond.
With due respect, I have heard that debate. And in fact, when I heard Marianne Chauncey speak a few weeks ago, somebody in the audience did ask her that very question. Mm. The truth is you can't do it because you don't have police protection.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Hang on a second, Taz. I mean, in Canada, in Vancouver, where the community just said, we have had enough, we are setting this up. The police were called in. The police said, go and find somebody else to close them down. We're not. We will use our police discretion and we will allow this centre. And in fact, the police took us there to show it to us. So I would hope that possibly police may be able to see some sort of discretion, because we're going to lose a dozen people over Christmas. And... really, if we have to break the law to save 12 people, I think that's a that's worth breaking.
Okay, all right. I'll keep an open mind on that. I mean, I think I'm heartened though that
I'm not sure that'll help your cause.
That position. I'm with you, Bronwyn, but I do want to acknowledge.
Not that I understand the passion, the concern, and everything.
But we do need to acknowledge that this is one of a range of measures that was announced in the last fortnight that's designed to actually provide intervention and support and treatment for people who are experiencing drug issues.
At the moment, there is 9 staff at the North Richmond Health Centre that are on call 24/7 and hang out in the car park. It's become a supervised injecting centre basically, because the staff are hanging out there to make sure that if someone does overdose, that they can get some oxygen to them, and keep them alive. So it's kind of, we've already got this is happening in this community. I take your point, absolutely, Bronwyn, that we've got to tread carefully here, but I do not want to see a dozen people die before we open the doors at North Richmond Health Centre.
This has been an amazing conversation. So given that the legislation is not through yet, if any of our listeners are inclined to do anything, what can they do to support you and support our Parliament in getting this through?
Look, it would be great. Obviously, this is government policy. The Greens are supporting it. I'm supporting it. James is supporting it. So if they could write to their local members in the Liberal Party, that would be very helpful. I know Gary Blackwood put something up on Facebook, and boy, did he get an education. Mm. 200 replies saying, Gary, you've missed the point here. And he was very gracious in accepting the information and accepting the education. So if we can just keep educating other members of Parliament about this, that as it's not soft on crime, it's tough on, it's smart on crime.
It's a public health issue, and we actually need to deal with it.
And it frees up all those resources to be tough where they need to be tough.
We have run out of time. I want to acknowledge everyone this morning. Fiona, you've played a very, very important role in this. You've helped with a whole lot of other people with the evidence persuade the government. This is what politics is about. Mm-hmm. It's about leaving somewhere you've been better than when it was before. Congratulations to you.
Oh, Macca, sorry. It's about leading the debate
debate.
Which is not what's occurring in Canberra at the moment. Sorry, I have to say that.
Let's talk about the real world, not Naughty Land up there. Reality is Fiona's done some hard yards on this. The police have, Ambulance Victoria have, the government have accepted the evidence. And I want to say thank you to all of you because, this is going to save lives. And surely that is what it's about. If you don't agree with this, I understand that, but look at the evidence.
That's right.
Look at the evidence.
And also a shout-out to some of the people that were fighting in 1999 and 2000.
Yeah.
It's been a long campaign, but Dr. Alex Wodak, Robert Richter, David Stanley were all there in 99.
Yeah.
And they're Pennington, still there.
The Pennington report, he must be...
Yeah.
It's been a great debate. Thank you very much, Fiona, for coming
You'll
in.
You'll be able to download the podcast pretty soon.
You certainly will. And I just have a message here from one of our listeners who says it's refreshing to hear from Fiona Patten. I don't agree with all of her policies, but credit where it's due. So thank you for your contribution.
Well done.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.